Dear Aura, and welcome back to In Depth with Academia. I'm Richard Price, your host, CEO of Academia EDU, and I'm just so pleased to have you here for another episode where we dive right into the heart of academic research and what it means for all of us. Today we're looking at a fascinating and deeply important paper by Ruku I. Anson called Poison Ivy, the Whack-a-Papa of Colonization. And wow, there's a lot to unpack. Remember, as always, I'm not endorsing the paper or its conclusions. I'm just excited to share and discuss its insights so you can reflect and think critically for yourself. So what's the core question this paper is wrestling with? Well, it asks, is colonization in Aotearoa, New Zealand, just a thing of the past, like a collection of dusty old laws and painful stories? Or is it something alive and active, a wound that keeps on transmitting through generations in ways we might not even recognize? Why does this matter? Because, the way we frame something shapes how we heal from it, or even if healing is possible at all. This is huge for anyone who works with intergenerational trauma, identity, or community well-being, or is just living life in Aotearoa, really. All right. So what does Ruku I. Anson actually argue here? The paper suggests that colonization functions a lot like poison ivy. Wait, stick with me. Poison ivy is this plant that spreads silently, right? You touch it and nothing seems to happen at first, then suddenly, boom, you're itching and uncomfortable and you don't even know where it came from. Colonization, in this metaphor, has worked its way into Maori communities and Wanao, not as a single traumatic event, but as a series of changes. Laws banning language, forced migration, suppression of traditional healing that keep echoing and taking root in new generations. Pretty evocative, right? Hang on, let me think. Oh, actually, did you know poison ivy isn't even native to Aotearoa? It just showed up, did its thing, and now it's everywhere. Sort of like, weird imported foods that end up in every supermarket. Not super important, but it's funny how these little comparisons pop up. Anyway, back to the paper. I. Anson coins the term colonization PTSD, arguing it's a kind of inherited trauma, like literally, not just stories or habits, but actually showing up in bodies, families, and whole communities as shame, anxiety, hypervigilance, loss of language, disconnection from culture, and not only in feelings, but in physical health, creativity, relationships, everything. She draws on a blend of historical trauma research, epigenetics, and indigenous wellness frameworks to support this, like citing both Western science and Maori ways of knowing, which seems like a thoughtful move. The paper maps all this onto something called the Te Putamaora framework, a model with 9 dimensions of wellness. For example, there's Taha Tinana, physical, Taha Hinengaro, mind, emotion, Taha Wairua, spiritual, Taha Kai, food, and so on. What's powerful here is the idea that trauma and suppression show up differently across each dimension, maybe as chronic illness in one family, disconnection from ancestors in another, or loss of creative self-expression somewhere else. The point, if you're ever wondering why certain patterns keep turning up in your own family or community, maybe, just maybe, there's a link you've never named before. It's not necessarily anyone's personal failing, it could be something much bigger echoing forward in time. One big emphasis, and again, I'm neutral here, just laying it out, Ruku I. Anson suggests we need to name the wound before real healing can happen. Using the metaphor of poison ivy again, you can't treat the rash if you don't know where it comes from, right? So, in therapy or well-being work, identifying these patterns as historical and genealogical, rather than blaming individuals, could shift the whole dynamic for recovery. There's even a clinical tool offered in the paper. You can only give what you were given. That's pretty disarming, isn't it? Makes you think about cycles, responsibility, blame, all that complex stuff. Oh, and side note, the paper describes pathways for healing, not overnight fixes, but stepwise, cyclical processes like Tengia Haukiri, where individuals or communities slowly metabolize trauma dimension by dimension, often guided by Maori lunar cycles. Sort of like how nature never rushes, but still gets everything done, huh? Remember, these are just one researcher's ideas, perspectives to consider, not ultimate truth. So, what does this mean for you, the listener? Maybe you'll spot echoes of these patterns in your own life. Perhaps if you're a teacher, parent, therapist, or just curious about your wakapapa, your lineage, you might see new ways of understanding persistent challenges, or new possibilities for breaking cycles. Or maybe you'll simply be inspired to ask what stories, blessings, or wounds your own family transmits, and how naming them could shift your own journey. As we wrap up, just a gentle reminder, academia is about exploration, not certainty. Every paper is a stepping stone, not a final destination. So stay curious, engage with the complexity, and reflect on what resonates for you. Thank you for diving into these ideas with me today. I'm Richard Price, and this is In Depth with Academia. See you next time.